Yo ho, thanks for tuning in and listening to the Grizz Podcast. Today is Thursday, December 13th, 2018. And on this episode, I'm going to get up in your grill about quitting. So many Christian dudes are just straight up quitters. The going gets rough and they quit. It drives me crazy, man. Real men don't quit. That's what I'm going to hit you with on this episode. So you better brace yourself. And all you Christian dudes who are easily offended, who still want mommy to coddle you and tuck you in with your favorite blankie and whisper sweet googles in your ear, you come to the wrong podcast. I'm not your mommy. I'm the Grizz. And I will spiritually maul you if you rep the name of Christ and you're a quitter. So here we go.
You're listening to the Grizz Podcast. It's gonna be raw, it's gonna be real, and it's gonna be relevant. We're here to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God is calling you to live. It's time for you to step up and man up. That's what God expects, and that's what this jacked up world desperately needs. Now here's our host, itinerant speaker, Jason George.
As a Christian man, there will often be times in your life when you feel like quitting. Some of you listening right now have seriously been contemplating quitting on some good and noble pursuit in your life as a Christian man. I'm talking about things like your marriage, your family, your church, your ministry, your health and fitness, getting that college degree, praying for that wayward son or daughter, your fight for personal purity, that book you're writing, adopting that child in Africa. You fill in the blank. Some of you are contemplating quitting on some sort of good and noble pursuit. And typically, I've learned throughout my life that those thoughts of throwing in the towel hit us the hardest after some sort of loss or failure or tragedy or betrayal or harsh criticism. But don't quit. Don't quit, my brother. Get that thought completely out of your mind. You can do that. You can control your thoughts. No one else. So do it right now. Replace that thought of quitting on that good and noble pursuit with thoughts of you fighting through, enduring, persevering, and overcoming. God has you listening to this podcast right here, right now, for a reason. He knows that some of you are seriously contemplating quitting on that good and noble pursuit. And he told me to tell you, don't quit. Fight, endure, persevere, overcome in his strength. That's how the Grizz tribe rolls. We don't quit on good and noble pursuits. We do fight. We endure, persevere, and overcome in his strength. Because that's manly. That's Christ-like. That's grizzen. Did no one ever enlighten you to the fact that to attain and maintain any sort of good and noble achievement, it will be a fight? It will cost you. At times, it will exhaust you. It will beat you down. It will wound you. Listen to me, my brothers from other mothers. There is no crown without the cross. There is no gain without the pain. That's how it goes for us as Christian men when we pursue anything good and noble in this jacked up world. Remember, we live in a fallen world with fallen people, in fallen bodies, with fallen minds, and we are constantly at war against fallen angels in the unseen realm. Have you forgotten that you constantly have three enemies relentlessly coming against you when you commit yourself to pursuing something good and noble? There's enemy number one, this sinful world system with all the anti-God, do what feels good to you bullcrap. John 15, 18 through 25, Jesus talks about this. Enemy number two is the spiritual forces of darkness, talking about Satan and his demons. They're real and they are active against any Christian man who steps up and mans up and pursues anything good and noble. Ephesians 6:12. Enemy number three is your sinful flesh that still resides in you. It's the traitor within you. Romans chapter 7. Those three enemies want you to quit pursuing that good and noble thing. They are fighting against you constantly if you're pursuing anything good and noble. Listen to me, men. Losing a round doesn't mean you've lost the fight. Losing a battle doesn't mean you've lost the war. Check does not mean checkmate. A loss does not mean you're a loser. Failure is not final. That choice is up to you. And God told me to tell you, don't quit. Fight, endure, persevere, overcome in His strength. Take the hit. Suffer the loss. Accept the failure. Admit the sin. Feel the pain. But don't quit. Get off your back. Fight, endure, persevere, overcome. That's what we do. That's who we are. That's how we roll. Quitting on good and noble pursuits is not an option in this tribe. We don't even entertain the thought. Throughout my life, I have lost and failed more times than I can count in numerous areas of my life. As a result, I have been harshly criticized, laughed at, slandered, betrayed, ignored, forgotten numerous times. I remember my ninth grade year of high school. I was a quitter. That's how I rolled. When the going got tough, I quit. My ninth grade year was my first year wrestling, and I lost every single match that season. Some matches I should have lost. The guy was, without a doubt, stronger and more experienced than me. But some of my matches I could have won, but I lost because I quit. And guess what? Quitting quickly became a habit, a rut that I fell into, and it was hard to get out of. When the season was over, I came home and I told my older brother, who I live with. He was my legal guardian all through high school. No mom, no dad. I told him, I suck at wrestling. I don't ever want to do it again. He said, if I did that, I'd be viewed as a loser and a quitter in my high school. And he challenged me to get on a weight training program and to stick with it all year. He said he'd help me with that. My brother was a big power lifter, state champion power lifter. He also challenged me to go to one of the nation's top wrestling camps, and he said that he'd pay for it if I went to it. I thought long and hard about what he said. Oh, he also told me to watch the movie Vision Quest about a high school wrestler. I did watch that movie dozens of times. My brother told me to get my own Vision Quest. That movie began to inspire me. Something began shifting inside of my mind, and I made the decision to get stronger and get better at wrestling, to not quit. I knew it was going to be hard, but I began making steps, and sometimes they were just baby steps. But I've learned that baby steps are still progress. I got on a weight training program. I began eating healthier to get stronger. I also began taking supplements and downing protein shakes daily. I went to that top wrestling camp. I also went to the off-season practices that my coach set up. My sophomore year of high school, I was back on the wrestling team at the 152 weight class. At the end of the season, I was no state champion. Far from it. But I had majorly improved. I won just as many matches as I lost. For me, it was progress. At the end of the season, at the awards banquet, my coach gave me a trophy. It said on the trophy, "Most Improved Wrestler." And he pulled me aside privately and he said, "I see potential in you, and the team needs you to keep working hard and keep improving, doing whatever it takes." That motivated me even more. I committed to a more intense and consistent weight training program. I went to another wrestling camp that next summer. I started training with two guys on my team who were state ranked, and they literally beat the crap out of me some practices. I'm not kidding when I say I left bloody some practices, but I got better because of it. That next season, when I wrestled average wrestlers, I beat them. Sometimes I just destroyed them. My junior year, I won more matches than I lost. I started placing in tournaments. Again, I was no state champion. I was never going to be. I wasn't going to wrestle in college. But who cares? What I took from those years of wrestling has instilled something deep within my psyche. Something so valuable. Don't quit, Jason. When the going gets tough, you fight, you endure, you persevere, you overcome. You don't quit. You never quit on good and noble pursuits. Last night, I was riding our Peloton bike, and it was just a 30-minute ride that I programmed. When I got to the 20-minute mark, a voice in my head said, "That's good enough. You aren't feeling good today with your Lyme disease, and you got another bad cough. Your doctor thinks you might have bronchitis again. Go rest. Most people wouldn't have worked out at all today." Man, do I know that voice. That voice inside of me, that is not the Grizz. That's the rat. That's the traitor within me. You see, within me, there is a constant battle. In biblical terms, it is the flesh versus the spirit. In my terms, it is the rat versus the Grizz. And both are powerful. Don't underestimate either one of them. So I knew that voice. And I replaced those thoughts from the rat with grizzen thoughts. I said back to the rat within me, "No. You started something good and noble. You finish. You set this workout for 30 minutes. You're going to finish it. I don't care if you got to lower the intensity, but you don't quit. Finish what you started, Jason. That's who you are now. That's how you roll." So I finished the 30-minute ride. I didn't keep at the intensity that I would have liked to. But I finished, and I was proud of myself. My sinful flesh, the rat within me, it didn't win the battle last night. The Grizz inside of me won the battle. I've learned that we cannot quit, even on the seemingly little good and noble endeavors, like a 30-minute ride on a Peloton bike. Once you start quitting on the seemingly little things like that, it becomes a habit and then a rut that you fall into. And you will start quitting on the more important things of life. Guys, I have come so close to quitting on my marriage. Marriage gets extremely tough at times. the grass often looks greener on the other side of the fence. After some arguments with my wife, I've told myself, well, the rat began to speak. I'm done. I don't need this. I'm sick of this. Okay, I suck as a husband, then go find somebody better. And I start thinking and even planning what I'm going to do, how I'm going to live my life and support my kids after the divorce. I'm just being real with you guys. At times, it's been that bad. But guess what? I didn't quit. That is something so ingrained in my psyche, and it goes back to wrestling. I fought, endured, persevered, and overcame. And it wasn't just me. It was in his strength and with the help of my brothers from other mothers. And I'm glad I didn't quit. Not just for me, but for my kids, man. When I was in college, I felt like quitting college. I'm not good at academics. In many ways, college seemed like a waste of time. I wanted to get out and get in the ministry, make a difference, win the world to Jesus, man. My youth pastor at the time told me, "Don't you quit. It's going to open doors for you that never any other way would be open to you. You finish. Get that degree." And I did. It was very hard for me. I have felt like quitting numerous times as an itinerant speaker. It's hard. It's humbling. It's exhausting at times. Things don't always go the way you think they're going to go. People aren't, you know, calling me every single week to come speak. You begin to question yourself. What am I in this for? Am I not that good at it? I have felt like quitting the Grizz podcast, dude, so many times. I'm like, who am I to do a men's podcast? I'm still figuring out this man thing. Or I hear the rat even say things like, "You're not a man. You're still a boy." Or, "Nobody's even listening. It doesn't make a difference." I have felt like quitting on my small home improvement business after taking harsh criticism from an older Christian friend that I respect. And basically told me, "You suck. You shouldn't be doing this. You're not a professional." I felt like quitting. After I've had relapses in my personal fight for personal purity, there's been numerous times where I just felt like quitting. This sucks. I suck. I'm never going to get a grip on this. I'm never going to overcome this addiction. So what's the use? Why try? Man, guys, I could go on and on. But guess what? I don't quit. If it's a good and noble pursuit, I don't quit. I go down swinging. I want you to listen to what Navy SEAL Jocko Willink says in his book, Discipline Equals Freedom. This comes from a section of the book, and I read it this week again. I've read it numerous times, but it really helped me this past week, and I believe it'll help you too. This is what it says. Drop! How do I deal with setbacks, failures, delays, defeats, or other disasters? I actually have a fairly simple way of dealing with these situations, summed up in one word: good. This is something that one of my direct subordinates, one of the guys who worked for me, a guy who became one of my best friends, pointed out. He would pull me aside with some major problem or some issue that was going on, and he'd say, "Boss, we got this thing, this situation, and it's going terribly wrong." I would look at him and I'd say, "Good." And finally, one day, he was telling me about something that was going off the rails, And as soon as he finished explaining it to me, he said, I already know what you're going to say. And I asked, what am I going to say? And he said, you're going to say good. He continued, that's what you always say. When something is wrong or going bad, you just look at me and say good. And I said, well, I mean it, because that's how I operate. So I explained to him that when things are going bad, there's going to be some good that will come from it. Oh, mission got canceled? Good. We can focus on another one. Didn't get the new high-speed gear we wanted? Good. We can keep it simple. Didn't get promoted? Good. More time to get better. Didn't get funded? Good. We own more of the company. Didn't get the job you wanted? Good. Go out, gain more experience, and build a better resume. Got injured? Good. Needed a break from training. Got tapped out? Good. It's better to tap out in training than to tap out on the street. Got beat? Good. We learned. Unexpected problems? Good. We have the opportunity to figure out a solution. That's it. When things are going bad, don't get all bummed out. Don't get startled. Don't get frustrated. No. Just look at the issue and say, good. Now, I don't mean to say something trite. I'm not trying to sound like Mr. Smiley Positive Guy. That guy ignores the hard truth. That guy thinks a positive attitude will solve problems. It won't. But neither will dwelling on the problem. No. Accept reality, but focus on the solution. Take that issue, take that setback, take that problem, and turn it into something good. Go forward. And if you are part of a team, that attitude will spread throughout. Finally, if you can say the word good, then guess what? It means you're still alive. It means you're still breathing. And if you're still breathing, that means you still got some fight left in you. So get up, dust off, reload, recalibrate, re-engage, and go out on the attack. Jocko Willink, Discipline Equals Freedom, Field Manual. I don't know what you're thinking about quitting. Don't. If it's a good and noble pursuit, don't quit. Fight. Endure. Persevere. Overcome. In His strength. That's who you are now. That's how we roll. That's manly. That's Christ-like. That's grizzin.
How y'all feel out there?
Oh, yeah. All right. Check this out. 1, 2, 3. In the place to be, as it is plain to see, he is DJ Run, and I am DMC. Funky Fresh for 1983. DJ Jam Master J. Inside the place with all the bass, he leaves without a trace, and he came here tonight to get on your case. And we are the crush grooving, the body moving, the record making, and the record breaking. And it goes a little something like this. It goes a 1, 2, 3, and here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. DMC and DJ Run, dum diddy dum diddy diddy dum dum. We're rocking on the mic, and then you know where we're from.
All right, before we close out today's show, got a couple items of grizz biz to go over with you guys. Let's see here. Number one, some of you guys have asked about the deer hunting situation for the grizz. How's that going? And I have not killed a deer yet. I could have killed multiple deer, but I have let the small ones go. I'm waiting for something bigger. So the other night I was out, and 4 small does came in right in front of me, 20 yards. I was sitting in my hunting blind. And then a bigger doe came in. And I'm like, man, I'm going to shoot her. That's a good sized doe. That's some good meat. And I grabbed my bow, realized I did not have my release. For those of you that don't bow hunt, a release is something that goes around your wrist. And that's what you use to pull the string back and has a trigger on it. And I knew that if I tried to shoot that doe, without the release, using just my fingers, it would throw off the accuracy of the shot. So I didn't want to risk wounding the deer, and that's just not how I roll. So let it go, but had a great time in the hunting blind. Got some video of it. And, you know, I just love being close to the deer, watching them, being out in the woods. So gun season is over here in Maryland. So I'm doing archery, which is my favorite anyway. Also, let's see what else we got. I just wanted to mention, I mentioned this before, but some of you may have forgotten or some of you guys just don't know at all. We do have a closed Facebook group called the Grizz Tribe. And I'm going to pull up that page right now on my computer, and I'm going to tell you the description on it. This is what it says. This is a private and confidential Facebook group of Christian brothers from all over the world who are fighting to live the manly life that God's called us to live. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. It's a safe place to share prayer requests, struggles, failures, victories, encouragement, humor, advice, questions, whatever. What is shared in this closed group needs to stay in this closed group, or you'll be kicked out of this closed group. You can request to be a member, but I won't approve you unless I know you or feel good about your answers to the member request questions. So if I don't know you and you want to join that group, there's a couple questions you got to answer. And again, the big thing is this is for guys only, Christian men only. If you have a Facebook profile that's you and your wife together, then I'm not going to let you in because I don't want your wife seeing what other guys may share. I want them to feel the freedom to share whatever they want. So, and if I find out that you're posting anything or talking about anything with someone that a guy shared in this group or something, you know, if it's something serious or confidential, then I'm booting you out of the group, man. Ain't nobody got time for that, man. Let's see what else I got here. Oh, again, that's Facebook, the Grizz Tribe. That's the name of it, closed Facebook group, if you're interested. If you're not interested, you know, good on you, mate. Want to share a few recent emails that I received from listeners. So hang on, let me pull those up right quick. All right, this first one, the listener says, "Hi, Jason. Love the podcast. I was wondering if you had any advice or wisdom for me about a vision, goals for myself and family. My wife and I have been struggling to find real meaning and purpose lately. If you were to ask what our 5-year plan is, we would both be scratching our heads. We are both first-generation Christians and ultimately want our family vision and goals to glorify and serve the Lord. But we are struggling to see what that practically looks like. Is it wrong to have goals surrounding worldly goals, such as a bigger house or higher-paying job? Thanks, man. Keep on grizzing. Dan, that's his name." I responded back to him. It was a great question. So I said, good to hear from you. Glad you like the podcast. You and your wife need to have goals. Goals move us from where we are to where we need and want to be. Making more money and having a bigger house can be good pursuits, so long as they are not your main pursuit. Our main pursuit is to love God and love others, to seek first His kingdom, to glorify Him and make an impact upon this jacked up world. See Matthew 22:36-37 and Matthew 6:33. We must also remember that everything we have is really not ours. It ultimately belongs to God. We are mere stewards of what is His. See Psalms 89:11. My house belongs to God. My truck belongs to God. All of my guns belong to God. My zero-turn mower belongs to God. When we keep that perspective and attitude, we guard ourselves against envy, jealousy, and greed. And when we constantly give thanks for what we currently have, we also guard ourselves against envy, jealousy, and greed. Because when you think about it, man, we don't deserve any of what we have. We deserve hell, but God has given us mercy and grace. A friend of mine recently asked to use my truck the other day to pick up a Christmas tree, and I let him. Why? Because it's really not my truck. It's God's truck, and I'm commanded to share the blessings that God has given me. Also, He's often allowed me to use one of his vehicles when I needed one. And he and his wife have also allowed my family to stay at his beach condo several times for little to no money. That's how it should be. What God has blessed us with is not just about meeting our needs or our enjoyment. When we make our stuff just about us, we end up lonely and miserable. I've seen it again and again with family and friends. We constantly have to be reminded of all of this. For a Christ follower, making more money should not be all about you. More money should also mean more giving. Think of the bigger blessing you and your wife could be to a church or missionary or a nonprofit when you make more money. However, don't wait to start giving. Wherever you are financially, start giving a percentage of it to God's work. God will bless you for that if your motives are right. Also, having a bigger house can be a great goal as long as it's not about status or trying to keep up with the quote-unquote Kardashians. We all have to check our motives constantly. If you want a bigger house because it could also be a powerful tool that God can use to make an impact on your kids or future kids, their friends, your church family, maybe foster kids, adopted kids, missionaries on break, etc. Now you're seeking first His kingdom and not your own kingdom. Hope all of this makes sense and helps you guys. Great question, man. Definitely write out your goals and then write out a detailed plan on how to obtain those goals. Goals without a practical, detailed plan to achieve those goals, dude, that's just daydreaming. And I do a lot of that. LOL. Pray over all your goals. Give them to God. Ask Him to guide you guys through the whole process. And remember to honor Him right now with what He's already given you. Grace, peace, and strength. Grizz, your brother from another mother. Let me grab a sip of my coffee here. Dude, I have been battling another cough and cold. My goodness, I just got over one back in October. Now I got another one. Went to the doctor this week, and I'm on more medicine. I think my immune system is lowered because of this Lyme disease thing I've been battling for years. So it's just frustrating, man. Anyway, enough about my infirmities. Another email I wanted to read to you guys. You remember last episode, I think it was, I read an email from a listener whose name is Sam, and he was a youth pastor who also said he's a recovering porn addict. And he was just asking me about, should he talk to his lead pastor and let him know that he has fallen to porn? It's become an issue, blah, blah, blah. And I responded back to him. He was asking that because some other guys that he respects were saying, dude, you need to let your lead pastor know because you're not just a Christian guy, but you're in a position of leadership. And I responded back and I just said, hey, man, when I was a youth pastor, I did end up talking to my wife and my lead pastor about the fact that I had slipped and fallen into looking at internet porn. And it was also at that time that I took initiative and I began to go to professional counseling for that. My senior pastor was very aware of the fact that I was going to counseling for that and also to improve my marriage. And I said, I do recommend getting that out to your lead pastor, not to the whole church, but to your lead pastor. And I said, also tell him that you're pursuing help and getting some kind of getting in a recovery group or a program or something. And he wrote me back this past week, and I wanted to read that because I know that some of you guys are in a similar situation that are on staff at a church. You're in a ministry leadership position, and I just want you to hear what happened. He did talk to his senior pastor, and I was so happy to hear the way his senior pastor responded. Man, this is just so good. I'm so thankful. He writes back and he says, "Dude, thanks so much for your quick reply, and thanks for also digging a little more into my question on the podcast yesterday. I ended up talking with my pastor, and he was very understanding and gracious. He was also encouraged to hear of all the steps I've implemented in the last couple months. For instance, with an accountability group, filtering on my devices, and other things that the Dauber suggested on his podcast. I just wanted to tell you what you already know. God is really using you and your ministry to do incredible things. Personally, I know that he has been using your podcast alongside the Porn Free Radio podcast to make some radical changes in my life, changes that I've wanted for so long, but I didn't know how to implement. Thank you for being a bold witness for Christ and such a loud messenger of hope to all of us guys who hate our addictions to porn. God is using you, man. Don't give up." It's funny you say that, you know, because today's episode is about don't quit. Anyway, one other question that I would like to pick your brain on. I have known for a while that my wife needs to get her own recovery too because of the hurts that I have caused in her life. I haven't really known of a great way to address this. We just moved and she doesn't really have any close friends here yet, so there's not someone in her life she's comfortable enough to open up to. Last night I took her to a Celebrate Recovery and it completely flopped. The group was just really awkward and made her feel uncomfortable the moment she walked in. So I was thinking about trying another Celebrate Recovery because I know they're not all like that. And we have thought about getting her into a meeting with a Christian counselor. But are there any suggestions that you can make? I know you've got more experience and have been at this longer than I have, so I just thought I would seek your wisdom here. Once again, thank you, thank you, thank you, Sam." And I wrote back just a brief response, and I said, "Man, praise God that your pastor responded with grace and love. Thanks for your encouragement as well. Makes my heart joyful. Celebrate Recovery. Some are awesome and some suck. For your wife to heal from this, there are many resources available. Triple X Church has some, and so does Covenant Eyes. Counseling is a good idea. Why don't you email the Dauber about who would be good for your wife to talk to? He would know better than me. Keep on grizzing, Jay." So those are two emails from two different listeners that I wanted to share on this week's episode, man. Thought it was some good, good stuff. I hope it encourages you guys and motivates you guys to do what you need to do with stepping up and manning up. All right, lastly, before I close out the show, I just want to remind you guys that the Grizz Podcast is an outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries. Narrow Trail is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. It is led by a board of directors, and also there is accountability with our certified public accountant in everything that we do. And with that, I just want to say, hey, man, if the Grizz Podcast is helping you to step up and man up, then please consider being a blessing back to our ministry by making some sort of financial donation. You can do that at narrowtrail.com/give, narrowtrail.com/give. You can make a one-time donation, or you can set up for a monthly recurring donation. There is no pressure or expectation for you as a listener to do that. The Grizz Podcast is just out there giving away completely free. Make it available to anybody who wants to listen to it. But it is not free for our ministry. It does cost us something, and it also costs me something personally, because I will take 1 to 1.5, sometimes 2 days off of work to do prep for the podcast. There, I don't have a crew. I don't have a company that I hire out. I record basically in my house, and I do the editing, and then I put it out there on the internet. It's a time consuming process. A lot of guys don't know unless you do podcasting. So I'm not complaining. I love doing it. I enjoy doing it. And, hey man, if you feel led, then thank you. It's a blessing. I know some of you guys that are listening, you have, recently made a donation to the ministry. Big time. Appreciate it, man. No joke. And but man, if you're not in a position to do anything like that, then I'm not worried about it, man. So it's all good. Anyway, that's it, man. That's what I got for this episode. I do sincerely hope that it motivates you guys, that in the right way, it is kicking you in the butt and moving you in the right direction to step up, man up, and live the life that God is calling you to live. That's what he expects. And as we always say, that's what this jacked up world needs. I was thinking recently, you know, the biggest problem in America, if you boil it all down, I really believe the biggest problem in America is Christian men, those who profess to be Christ followers. I mean, some of the most unmanly dudes on the planet, especially, well, in our country, are professing Christian, I don't even want to call them men, just guys. They're not stepping up. They're not manning up. They're not doing the things that they need to be doing in their personal lives, with their marriage, with their family. They're not fighting, man. A lot of them are just, like I said, they're quitting on so many things. They bail out, or they're just passive, or they make mountains out of molehills. They're focused on stupid issues that I'm like, what is that? So, man, if Christian men in America would start stepping up and manning up and doing what they need to do, do you realize the impact that would make upon marriages, families, communities, schools, churches, you know, your state, your everything, your workplace? Dude, that's how we change the world. It starts with you changing you. You know what I'm saying? Allowing God to start changing you. Start walking in step with the Spirit, like I was talking about on these episodes with Spiritually Blah. And guys, man, I'm not the guru. I don't have it all down. I'm fighting the fight with you. Your encouragement back to me through emails and things like that, it really does help me to stay on track and to keep fighting the fight. Because as I said, man, I feel like quitting in numerous good and godly, noble pursuits, things I'm trying to do. So, all right, that's it. I'm going to shut up. Let me close out this episode with a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for being a gracious Heavenly Father. Thank you for not giving us what we deserve. Thank you for all the many, many material blessings that so many of us enjoy. Yes, we would all love to have more, but thank you for what we do have. Help us to take those things and be a blessing back to others. I pray that you would use this podcast, God, to continue to light a fire in Christian men here in America, but also around the world. God, help us to be the real deal, to quit faking, to quit, you know, acting like we're something that we're not, fronting. Help us to quit worrying more about our image or our reputation than really our heart, how our heart is really doing. God, give us strength this week to live the manly life, not just to be tough, but to also be gentle where we need to be gentle, and to love the way that we need to love, to do everything in love. Like 1 Corinthians 13 lays out. God, help us. We can't do it without you. And help us to not isolate ourselves, but help us to stay in connection with you and also with our brothers from other mothers. God, thank you for the Grizz Tribe. Thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I've been to hell and back, but I ain't going back. That's why I've been on my grind. That's why I've been on my grind. You told me I got a shot, but we ain't losing this time. So you know
told me I wouldn't be none.
I wouldn't be none.
No more reach, some said I wouldn't sell none.
I wouldn't sell none.
Said you ain't talking about money, then boy, you ain't talking about none.
I'm talking about you.
Well, I thank God he turned nothing to something. Boy, I hear you talking that talk. I pay no attention to that. Hey, we ain't taking no loss. Tell me how you love that. Oh, this is not my plan.
This is not my plan.
This is the plan of the Lord. Holy fear, God, I feel no man. I know I done told you before.
I know I done told you and 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 told you before. They try to hold you and hold you and hold you and hold you and hold you right down to the floor. I just got my team and God, and that's all that we need with this message we trying to get out. Look to my left and my right and they out here with me, but you know it's holding us down, just so you know.
A hole, if you come down, it probably will scare you.
It probably will scare
everyone
you.
Say that they got you. Till it's time to get you, then they forget you. Till it's time to hit you, then they dismiss you. Till you shine again, now they back with you. Look at that.
Boy, look at that.
Everybody fighting over little scraps.
Over little scraps.
I think the devil trying to sell us out of the money and the fortune and the fame. And where's that? I don't believe him, no. Still mighty and major, even if I'm broke. If it's only 10 people at my main show, I treat it like it's an arena, I be stepping.
I thought I told you and 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 told you before. They try to hold you and hold you and hold you and hold you and hold you right down to the floor.
I just got my team and God, and that's all that we need with this message. We trying to get out. Look to my left and my right, and they all here with me. Plus, you know who is holding us down. Just so you know.
I've been to hell and back, but I ain't going back.
That's why I've been on my grind. That's why I've been on my grind. You told me I got a shot, but we ain't losing this time, so you know.